Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is April 28th, 2021. I hope you all are well out there. Another week, the actual final week here in the month of April, as we will see the calendar turn the page to May, starting on Saturday, which is pretty wild to think about that. I know that this weekend also marks the start of graduation ceremonies at Michigan State University. So I know that's a big weekend for many Spartans out there, and congratulations to all of the Michigan State Spartans who will be earning a degree come this weekend. That is exciting, exciting stuff, folks. And I am just so glad to be behind the mic today, because we've got a very special guest that will be joining me this hour. And we've got a great interview that I can't wait to get to, because this time of the year also marks the start of baseball, right? Now, we know the majors have been underway for a minute now. The Detroit Tigers are still the Detroit Tigers. They are in full rebuild mode and will be in rebuild mode for a while, just like every major Detroit sports professional franchise. I mean, the Tigers rebuild mode, the Lions rebuild mode, the Pistons, I mean, they've been rebuilding since like 2006, right? The Red Wings, rebuild mode. Everybody is in rebuild mode right now. But, you know, what I'm talking about in terms of baseball revving back up, is that your Lansing Lugnuts, who play at Jackson Field, downtown Lansing, Michigan, they will be starting up a new season after a one-year hiatus due to the pandemic come next week. How exciting is that? That's right. Next week, Tuesday, the Lansing Lugnuts will have opening day. Oh, that's fun stuff, man, because there is nothing like seeing fans downtown Lansing hitting a Lansing Lugnuts baseball game. It's just fun, man. It's just fun. You know, I used to actually live right down the street from Jackson Field when I first got the gig here at WKAR. And, you know, I'm not working every single game of the Lansing Lugnuts, so there would be plenty of times when I would just, you know, it would be like a weekend game, and, you know, I just wanted to get out the house. It was a nice day. Plenty of times I would just walk down the street to Jackson Field, well, formerly known as Cooley Law School Stadium, right? And then just sit in the stands and just enjoy some baseball on a really nice summer day. because I always say there is nothing like the at-game experience, like a baseball game, an outdoor baseball game. You know, being outside, feeling the wind and the sun beat down on you as you chow down on a hot dog or some popcorn or peanuts and Cracker Jacks, right? And just enjoy the game. So to get us ready for the start of Lansing Lugnuts baseball, and now the Lugnuts are a high A affiliate of the Oakland A's. To get us ready, we will invite a dear friend to the show in just a moment, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who is now entering what will be his 12th season as the voice, the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Man, it was an awesome conversation with him. Actually recorded it already, and I'll be rolling it in for segment B and C on today's Current Sports. And we talk everything, not just baseball, you know, not just his excitement entering his 12th season, not just a preview of players to look for, but as we touch upon life as well and what this past year has been like for him, you know, being a new father. What is that experience like for not only him, but also his beautiful wife, Christy? How are players dealing with the pandemic? What did they do to stay in shape this offseason? How did the move from being an affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays to the Oakland A's come about? So it's going to be a conversation that extends beyond just your usual X's and O's baseball talk. So you don't want to miss it, folks. You don't want to miss that. So that's what we got on the docket for you guys. But what I want to touch upon on today's show, leading into that interview, is I want to talk some football just briefly here, because today also marks the day before the NFL draft. How about that, folks? The NFL draft just a day away. And, you know, this is a week in which NFL fans everywhere, you have the H word at the forefront of your mind, right? Hope. No matter what happened last season, no matter how trash your team may have performed, the NFL draft gives you hope because maybe, just maybe, you draft the next superstar of your franchise. You just never know. You never know, folks. So, you know, the big question, of course, here in the state of Michigan is what will your Detroit Lions do come tomorrow? Because, you know, the Lions having such a high pick here, the Lions will be picking at number 7th overall. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation as to what they will do and what they should do. Because, as we all know, those are two totally different conversations. The good thing is, I think that this Detroit Lions franchise, I think that Brad Holmes has made some really good moves and has essentially cleaned house and let it be known clearly that this franchise is in complete rebuild mode. They have let go some big names. He has, you know, hired a coach in Dan Campbell, who I think is fiery and has added some new life in this franchise. I can't disagree with any move that Brad Holmes has made so far. You know, I think that the pre-draft process for first-year GM Brad Holmes it's gone about as smooth as any Detroit Lions hopeful can hope for, you know? And I think that he's earning the respect of many fans out there, you know? So what will the Lions do with this pick? And I'm going to dive more into this tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, I'm really going to comb through the moves that have been made by Brad Holmes, the releases that have been made. Of course, I'm going to dive into, you know, the situation with letting go Matthew Stafford, letting him go to the West Coast, and, you know, and what that means for this franchise now that Jared Goff is going to be the starting quarterback for this team this upcoming season. But I just want to, you know, kind of go through what other quote-unquote experts who cover the Detroit Lions, what they are saying the Lions are going to do with that number 7 pick. Peter King, NBC Sports, he believes that the Lions are going to go with Penei Sewell. And I think I'm butchering that name, but he's an offensive tackle from Oregon. Why, quote, first line out of rookie GM Brad Holmes' mouth, if it falls this way, no way we thought Sewell would be there at 7. Taylor Decker is a solid player on the left side for Detroit, but Tyrell Crosby, PFF's 66th rated tackle last year, seems like a placeholder on the right side. So he thinks the Lions may go with an offensive tackle there. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com. He believes that the Lions are going to go with the quarterback and that they will snag Justin Fields, the quarterback from Ohio State, the highly touted quarterback from Ohio State. And that's the big debate, right? And again, I'm going to comb through more of this on tomorrow's show. But because we know that Jared Goff is not going to be the quarterback for the Detroit Lions that is going to lead them to the promised land, it's pretty much like, you know, Jared Goff can just kind of let his hair down and play very loose because the expectations are so low with him. Many Lions fans feel like, and no, let's be real here, know that Jared Goff, especially when you look at the decline in his career since he took the Rams to the Super Bowl that one year, Jared Goff is probably not the right guy to lead this franchise to the promised land. So you got to get a quarterback in there at some point, but it doesn't necessarily have to be this season because the Lions have so much draft capital. I mean, they could really punt on drafting a quarterback this season and do it next year or the year after that. Ideally, though, if they do punt this year, ideally, I would like to see them draft a quarterback next season. But Justin Fields is a solid prospect. But Daniel Jeremiah believes that they will go with Justin Fields, and this is why. Quote, this could be a trade spot with some teams picking after Detroit, potentially in the market for a quarterback, but I wouldn't rule out the Lions staying put and taking a signal caller themselves. Fields has more upside than Jared Goff. So maybe it's trade bait in drafting Justin Fields, or maybe they just want to shore up that position right now and believe in Justin Fields, who, by the way, he had a really good NFL combine, and they'll go with him. That's an option. I'm hearing this name a lot. This one coming from Bucky Brooks of NFL.com. I'm hearing this name a lot. Linebacker Micah Parsons from Penn State. Really solid player. Bucky writes, quote, the Lions need difference makers on the defensive side of the football to close the gap on their NFC North rivals. Parsons is the best defender in the draft with sideline-to-sideline playmaking ability and explosive pass rush skills. Plus, he is capable of covering running backs and tight ends. I'm hearing that a lot. You got Chad Reuter of NFL.com, Maurice Jones-Drew of NFL.com, let's see here as I scroll. Jack Borowski of Sports Illustrated. You've got, I feel like there's one more here. Yeah, Cody Benjamin of CBSSports.com. They all believe that the Lions are going to go with Micah Parsons. A lot of experts believe that the Lions are going to go with the linebacker here and Micah Parsons. So, and that's definitely a possibility. I mean, there's so much turnover right now. When you look at that Detroit Lions defense and the linebacker spot being so important, and we know that the Lions linebackers haven't been great. Have not been great. I mean, I bring up, you know, Jared Davis and how much of a disappointment he has been at that spot. You need good linebackers if you want to win in today's NFL. You need a leader at that position, and Micah is a really good player. So, again, I'll dive more into this tomorrow, and I'll give you my thoughts on what the Lions will do with that pick and predictions on the NFL draft. I'll tackle what my Dallas Cowboys are going to do as well. And I'll give you my top picks. I'll give you my mock draft tomorrow, all right? But I want to hit our first break right now, and when we come back, you'll hear my chat with The Voice going into his 12th year as The Voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, the one, the only, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and as promised, as the Lansing Lugnuts will open up a year after a year-long hiatus due to COVID-19 and the pandemic that is COVID-19, Lansing Lugnuts baseball will return to downtown Lansing at Jackson Field. Here is my chat with, now again, entering his 12th year, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
I just want to know, man, because, you know, this past year has been just insane, to say the least. I just want to know, from a human perspective, dude, what this past year has been like for you. And you know, now that, you know, we are on the brink of yet another Lansing Lugnuts season, you know, finally coming back into our lives. I mean, what's the past year been like for you, and what's the anticipation like of this upcoming season?
So I experienced this past year differently than I would have otherwise because I became a dad. And so having a baby changed my priorities from wanting to broadcast sports, wanting to be out there, let's do this, to suddenly the most important thing was being there with my wife and my baby. So that was the silverest of silver linings of all of this, was we were all able to be together during this entire year plus. I've missed being able to see my family. I'm very close to my parents and my younger brother and younger sister. I've missed being able to see my friends. I've missed sports. But it has been very important to me that inside our walls, we have taken really good care of one another.
And, you know, I hear that a lot, especially guys who are in our profession. I mean, especially for you, Jesse, I mean, being a minor league announcer, you know, especially around this time of the year when the season's about to kick up. I mean, you're always on the road. You're always traveling. Also, you know, for you, you know, doing women's college basketball at the same time. I mean, your schedule is so insane. Getting a chance to spend that quality time with your family, especially as you said, I mean, brother, congratulations again, you know, being a husband, being a new dad now, to your amazing, adorable son. What conversations did you have with your wife? I believe it's Christy, right? With Christy,
right.
When it comes to this whole situation, because I know she was so grateful to have you home.
I think that the big conversation that we had early on was how we would take things one day at a time, and that the previous day or the morning of, we would plan things out through our day, especially when his daycare was shut down due to the pandemic. So now the two of us are trying to get our work done while being at home, and she's a therapist. So at the same time that we're parenting, and trying to figure out, okay, she's got this meeting at this time and I've got this meeting at this time. So like we're a wrestling tag team. I'd tag her in and suddenly she's on baby duty and I'm working. And then it would go vice versa. So yes, just having great communication all the while through it, while at the same time putting my ear to the ground and saying, will there be a baseball season? What do the Lugnuts have planned? What is coming down the line for us? Because there were some seismic changes when it came to baseball.
Without a doubt, certainly. And for you guys, I mean, first off, I have to ask this as well, man. Toughest part about being a dad?
Toughest part about being a dad so far for me has been sleeping. Early on, it was the ability to trust that he would be okay when I'm asleep. And then recently it's been, as he's teething, figuring out ways to keep him sleeping while still keeping his good sleep habits. We developed really strong sleep habits at 4 months old. And then all throughout, they've been threatened. So I don't think that my sleeping has been as healthy as it should be. I've always been someone who, number one, I love to sleep. Number two, I love to sleep in. Like my best sleep comes between 8 and 10 a.m. One of the reasons for that is when you work in sports, you need to be awake late at night. Like I can't be yawning for the Lugnuts if we go into the 10th inning. Or if my basketball game goes into overtime, I can't be like, I'm shutting it down, fellas, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. So I need to be at high energy at that point, which therefore means that I get my best sleep starting at, let's say, late past 11, midnight, 1. And as a parent, he's going to be awake at 5, 6, 7 a.m., so I got to be ready for it. So that, the whole figuring out sleep thing and being tired and taking care of him, that's been the biggest challenge.
Oh, you hear that a lot with new parents, right? You know, not getting enough sleep for sure. And for you, man, at the same time as, you know, being a new parent, it has to be just incredibly gratifying, right? And I think, especially when you look at what's happening in our world and what has been happening in our world since the pandemic hit, Jesse, and you being a father, a new father at the same time and going through this, I know you've had some pretty emotional moments just sitting there maybe in you know, seclusion with him as he just kind of lays on your chest. What have been the thoughts that have gone through your head when you've had those alone moments with him and just thinking about him and where we are as a world right now?
It's amazing to me that human beings can just bring a new human being into the world who is going to change lives. Like, I don't know whose lives he's going to change and how, for the better or for the worse, but the fact that he is now in this world and changing lives boggles my mind. And that in this time where we are more isolated because of the pandemic, just trying to stay safe, it's really important to have people around us who bring us support, who bring us de-stressing and joy and relief and laughter. And he brings me all of these different things. So I nickname him the Joy Bringer, because wherever he goes, he just brings joy around. That's so important.
I love it. The Joy Bringer. And his name is Alain, right?
Alain, yeah. My wife studied French and I'm Jewish. We're raising him Jewish. So we found a name that works in both French and Hebrew. That was really important to me.
Oh, that is beautiful. That is such a beautiful name, Jesse. Oh, awesome, awesome stuff. So I know for me, this past year has changed me in a lot of different ways. Number one, I think it's made me appreciate life a little more. Also, when it comes to just, you know, my daily grind, you know, I'm also, and you can kind of relate to this, Jesse, because I know you you studied theater back in high school, I believe. We've had conversations about this, and you know,
all state, baby.
There you go, right? And for me, you know, a theater is a different ball game, but for me, I'm you know, embarking on this acting journey. I've been acting now for, you know, going on 6 years. So trying to balance that pursuit with what I'm doing also as a sports broadcaster, this pandemic has made my daily routine a bit more refined in terms of finding balance, and also finding that balance between acting, broadcasting, and just like you said, de-stressing and getting away from it all to clear my mind a bit. In what way has the pandemic changed you?
I think that's a really good question. I think it has boiled things down. So it's boiled down, what is my job and how do I do it better? Who am I as a person and who depends on me and who do I depend on? How do I want to spend my days? So all of these different things very much get boiled down. I've had to confront my biggest vulnerabilities. I have an enormous vulnerability when it comes to health. Like one little thing could be wrong with me and that throws my world off kilter with health. My tooth hurts. I stub my toe. I'm suddenly off. So when you put out this global health anxiety into the air, that throws me off where I go, I know how I'm feeling. And is that allergies or is it something worse? So I think the biggest way that it's changed me is just boiling things down, connecting me to those around me, and also causing me to say, okay, who do I need to reach out to through this who we don't see each other, but I need to make sure that they know that they're important to me and they're making sure that I know that I'm important to them.
Oh, man, I absolutely love that. Love that, Jesse. So now, you know, we are on, you know, the brink of another Lansing Lugnut season. Thank goodness. I mean, next week, we're going to have the opening of the year. Opening night is going to take place on Tuesday, the 4th, against Lake County. I know it's going to be an incredible atmosphere and probably emotional for you and many of those on the Lansing Lugnut staff to have Lansing Lugnuts baseball back. I want to turn back the clock just a little bit though. When did you know and when did you have a pretty good idea that Lugnuts baseball was going to return this season, and what kind of emotions kind of went through your head, what kind of went through your body when you kind of knew that was going to be pretty much finalized?
To my mind, the minor league baseball season is always tied in with the major league baseball season because major league baseball needs to take care of itself. And then it needs to start prioritizing minor league baseball because they need us. They need players to come up. They have injuries. Where do you get that depth? Where do you get that development to provide the next generation of major league stars? So last year, when there was no minor league season, and they set up the instructional sites, they set up the summer camps, the alternate sites, but it was so clear to me that they could not have another year like last year where all of these minor leaguers, you got 30, 40, 50, 60 guys who got development in camp, but all the rest of your guys didn't get any development. All those guys are sitting back at home trying to put together pickup games. That just doesn't work for what a major league team is trying to construct on a year-to-year basis, especially with how careful they are in trying to build innings in pitchers' arms, trying to get them ready health-wise. So I would say last year around September or so, I started thinking they've got to have a minor league season this year. I don't care what it takes, there's going to be one. And maybe it's just going to be in Florida or Arizona, but something's happening. My thinking is we're going to get involved, especially the more I started to read about where the vaccines were in development. So that started to get me pumped. And last September, October, I started reaching out, interviewing players who were with the Toronto Blue Jays, who I thought were going to be with us next year. I'm following all their draft picks and all their signings. And I had projected rosters all set for us to be a Blue Jays team. And lo and behold, I suddenly had to learn an entirely new organization.
That is so, so true. And I'm going to get to that new organization in just a moment. But, you know, you bring up a very good point there, Jesse, because so many athletes, you know, those who are striving to make it to, you know, the creme de la creme of their respective sport, so many athletes were thrown off because of this pandemic. What were the conversations that you were having with players, you know, in the Toronto Blue Jays system that are trying to make that dream come true of making it to that top, that pinnacle of playing in Major League Baseball? What conversations were you having with them and how discouraging was it for them to have to go through this? How did they stay in shape throughout this time?
They were just looking for any kind of communication, any kind of guidance from the team. So whether they were doing regular Zooms with coaches just to check in, Cree Finfrock, the Lansing Lugnuts closer in 2019, led the league in saves. He'd built a mound in his backyard that he was just trying to work off of. all the same time he was creating his own clothing line, his own line of fishing shirts and selling them that he was designing because he's also a great illustrator. So all these guys are finding work for themselves in other ways and just trying to find ways to make money. At the same time, guys like Cree, if you're a pitcher, you're trying to make sure your fastball velocity doesn't lose any juice. You're trying to make sure that your breaking stuff is still good. For hitters, you're just trying to make sure your timing is still on. Try to make sure your strength and conditioning is so good. I love the stories about a guy like Adam Kloppenstein, a big-time prospect within the Blue Jays organization, third-round draft pick out of a Texas high school. So what did he do this past summer when there was nothing going on? He found a Texas baseball league that they had thrown together full of older guys. Like Roger Clemens is pitching in this league. And there's young Adam Kloppenstein taking his lumps. They beat him up a little bit because these are all older guys. But just trying to find any way that you can play some ball. There's a guy named Baron Radcliffe, a star coming out of Georgia Tech. His father, Vic Radcliffe, played for the Lugnuts way back when in the 1990s. So Vic visited Lansing, just checking back in with the fam, and he brought Baron to see his old ballpark. So I got to open up the gates, show them in. Baron Radcliffe had just been drafted high by the Philadelphia Phillies, and he's going, my college baseball season got shut down early. I got drafted, but what are we doing? What am I doing? Where should I be doing? This huge confusion in the air as guys are looking for any kind of guidance.
Wow. That is incredible, Jesse. Just trying to just stay in shape and finding creative ways to do it. And even if you got to go and play with old school cats like Roger Clemens, right? You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
That is so, so awesome. So now, I mean, you guys are an affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. And, you know, you guys become the fourth franchise that the A's have been, you know, affiliated with. For you guys, Jesse, how first off, can you kind of break this down for our listeners out there? How big of a move is this and how big of a leap in terms of talent is this for your organization?
Well, the first thing is it was a bit of musical chairs. So every team is being told you can only have four minor league affiliates, AAA, AA, High A, Low A. And that was tough. There were teams who liked multiple affiliates. For example, the Toronto Blue Jays love us and they love Vancouver, Vancouver being the only Canadian affiliate. Mm-hmm. Well, as they were started to move the levels around and Dunedin in the Blue Jay system got shifted from High A to Low A, we got shifted from Low A to High A. But Vancouver at the same time got put into High A. And suddenly the Blue Jays are told you can only have one of Vancouver and Lansing. You can't have them both. And the same thing went for a number of other teams. The New York Yankees love the Trenton Thunder, but they also got overtures from the Somerset Patriots. So who are you going to go with? Teams got left out. When it came to Trenton, they got left out entirely. When it came to us and the Blue Jays were assigned the Vancouver Canadians, how fortunate it was that the Oakland Athletics were right there saying, we need a High A team. Let's be partners. So we got to sign the Oakland Athletics. I love it. We look what they do at the major league level, winning every single year and winning with guys that we had never really heard of. Now we're going to hear of them. That is an organization with a culture of whoever you are, you come in and you win games for us. From scouting to development to everything else that makes up a winning team, coaches and players, they find ways to win a lot of games and get to the playoffs. So just in meeting them and talking with their people, I have loved their culture. And us moving up to High A means that our players are going to make the major leagues faster. Whereas it took 2-3 years before, now we could see guys going from Lansing to the major leagues either in the same season or the very next year.
That's amazing because, you know, for fans out there, you know, you could be watching one player on a Monday and then, you know, come the weekend, you could be watching them on your television, right? I mean, that's pretty incredible. And for you, Jesse, just, you know, observing these players in the early parts of, you know, throughout training camp and preparing for the season, what is the biggest difference you see? When you talk about a High A talent, what's the biggest difference you see?
I think they're married. They're older. I kid. We got a bunch of old men playing for us right now because everybody, instead of being Lansing Lugnuts where they were 18, 19, 20, 21, you'd look at a Lugnut, you'd be like, whoa, dude's 23 years old? This seems a little bit old for Lansing. Suddenly you got a team where you're like, dude's 27 years old? Well, okay then. Yeah, with missing last year. So everybody just aged a year because there was no baseball. And now coming back, there's a ton of guys who make us a much more mature, grounded, wiser team because of years. So I really appreciate that we are mature.
I love that. That is an awesome, awesome answer. And it's so true. So true, Jesse. For you, you always do an amazing job. But when we have you on, Jesse, you give us a name or three that our listeners can keep an eye on, that I keep an eye on, that could turn out to be, you know, a major player in the major leagues very, very soon. Can you give us a few names that are on your radar where you say, man, watch out for that kid?
Let me give you three. I think that our top pitcher is going to end up being a Michigan Wolverine, Jeff Criswell. He is coming in with a lot of hype as potentially the best pitching prospect in the Oakland Athletics organization. And my expectation is he might be at the very top of our rotation. And then in our lineup, we've got an outfielder named Michael Goldberg. So I've got Goldberg Strassler with a G-O-L-D. He's got a G-U-L-D. Michael Goldberg coming out of Georgia Tech, where if you look at his hitting numbers, dude hit 400, 450, ACC's best hitter. Not too much power, but just lined the ball all over the place. So I expect him to hit at the very top of our lineup and hit and hit and hit. And then the third guy is a guy named Drew Millis. If Drew Millis hits at all, watch out. Switch hitting catcher from Missouri State. Drew Millis was considered the best defensive catcher in the country when he was in college. So you couple that with, if that bat shows us something, as a guy hidden from both sides of the plate and a guy who's able to control so much of the game from back of the dish, he could be a star. Those are my three for you.
I hope our listeners were taking notes. I will certainly have those three players on my radar, and I can't wait to check them out, Jesse. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with the great voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. And Jesse, what year is this now entering for you with the Lugnuts?
12 years.
12 years. I got to ask, brother, because, you know, you now entering your 12th year. You've got so many memories with this organization. It is so near and dear to your heart, of course. I got to ask, from a broadcasting perspective, because I saw something interesting on your Twitter account in which you do a different score template design every season. Can you tell me about that evolution a bit? Because it's so interesting for me to dive into the mind of a play-by-play broadcaster, especially one who has to really paint that picture on the radio like you do in the game of baseball. You do such an amazing job. And just that little insight, that tweet that I saw, and you tweeted out your score template for this season, it gives me an insight into how you are always striving to get better and tweak and beat on your craft every single season.
I appreciate it. Growing up, I was taught how to score the game. And the scorecard always came in the official team program that we would purchase upon arriving at the ballpark. Well, when I first started broadcasting, I've got to score the game. That way I know what players did in their previous at-bats. I know who's coming up in the lineup. So I just borrowed the template scorecard of the broadcaster that I interned under. But what I learned is when I'm broadcasting a basketball game, a football game, there's always plenty of space for me to write down tons of cool stories about the guys. And there's none of that space on a baseball scorecard. You look at your common scorecard, you just write down the name of the players, the names of the hitters, the names of the pitchers, and you don't write down any fun stories because there just isn't the space. So I started redesigning it to give myself plenty of space to put down whatever I found that was fun about each of the players. Like we have a first baseman named Patrick McCall. If he joins us this year, his grandfather finished fourth for the Heisman. That's something I want to write down just in case I want to tell that story during the game. So yeah, every single year I say, how can I use my scorecard to help me broadcast the game better?
in terms of what you all are doing down at the stadium, in what way, due to, of course, COVID-19 and this pandemic, in what way will it be different? And how are you guys trying to make sure that you're still bringing it and providing a fun, unique atmosphere while watching the Lansing Lugnuts?
I compare it to working in a kitchen where you have a certain number of ingredients to cook up the meal for that day. So here's what our ingredients are. We've got 20% capacity, 2,200 fans. We cannot allow anybody onto the playing surface. No fans can be more than can be less than 12 feet away from the playing surface. Can't interact with the players, so no autographs, no on-field promotions, none of that. If those are ingredients that we've got to work with, then we say, what can we do? That means giveaways at the gate. That means great theme nights. That means bring your dog to the ballpark every Wednesday, a home game. That means fireworks Fridays and Saturdays once we get into June, July. And that means food. That means whatever else we can manage. And with regards to food, there's an app where you can order it right to your seat, order a designated pickup point elsewhere in the ballpark. And it's very much incumbent upon us to say, how do we make sure that the experience here at Jackson Field is as good, as positive, and as safe as it can possibly be? But I think there's a part that we're helped by, in that just like me, so many people just can't wait to get back, sit in the stands and take in some baseball again. That's going to be the best feeling of all, is walking in through the gates and seeing the field.
So true. And is there limited capacity for this upcoming season, Jesse?
Yes, we've been limited by the state of Michigan currently to 20%. So out of our 11,000 capacity, 2,200 fans is our current maximum. And we'll see if they reevaluate that as things go on. But we've got seats that are roped off. We've got it all very carefully mapped out in our seating bowl and around the outfield wall to make sure that everybody is spaced and everybody has a great view of the action.
In terms of mask, is there a mask policy for you guys?
Absolutely. You have to wear a mask at all times unless you're at your seat eating and drinking.
Gotcha. All right. And you mentioned the incredible promotions. I mean, that's one thing that is so unique and fun about, you know, being at a baseball game, especially minor league baseball, because you guys have all of these amazing and different ideas that you bring to the table every single year. You mentioned some of the promotions. What are some more that you can pub a little bit and tell us more about, Jesse?
We're going to do a great Oakland Athletics giveaway. I can't wait for that, because the big draw is the Athletics green and gold. So we've been saying go green for the Spartans, and now the Lansing Lugnuts get a chance to go a bit green. We're not changing our primary colors of red and black. We're not changing our jerseys or our logo, but to get that little bit of green and gold of the Athletics into who we are would be just fabulous. So we'll be doing an Oakland Athletics giveaway at some point. We'll be doing 4 bobblehead giveaways throughout the year, 4 memorable Lugnuts moments with Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Noah Syndergaard, and Mark Pryor. We'll also be bringing in Richard Karn, and we'll be holding a Tool Time night, because we're the Lugnuts, so let's honor tools, if you know what I mean. And there will be all sorts of other things as the year goes on, but those are the major, major events. And then I cannot wait for the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame inductions. We're doing 3 straight Hall of Fame nights, June 17th, June 18th, June 19th. And when we release the information of who we're inducting, Al, I'll let you know. It's going to be huge.
Oh, I cannot wait. You just got my blood pumping a little bit there. Now I'm so curious, and thoughts are running through my head. Who could be inducted this year? And the fact that you said not one, not two, but 3 nights, you said?
Yes, we'll be inducting the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2020 on June 18th. Mm-hmm. That's Drew Henson coming to town, and that's the late, great coach Bob Miller. But between those, June 17th and June 19th, we'll be celebrating Lansing baseball. We'll be celebrating historic baseball.
Oh, that's awesome stuff. Mark your calendars, current sports fans. That is fantastic. And Jesse, I'm curious, man. In terms of, because, you know, vaccinations are such a big topic in our nation right now. Some people are getting vaccinated. Some people aren't. You know, I've been very open with my listeners, and I'm always trying to keep it 1,000 with them. And, you know, I recently, you know, got my first dose. I'll be getting my second dose in about a week here. And it's a personal decision, you know, for a lot of different people. I'm curious, how is baseball monitoring, if at all, vaccinations? Are players getting vaccinated, or are they like, they're still like, no? What's the conversation and dialogue around vaccinations in the minors and the majors, I guess?
It is left up to personal choice, but I can tell you that with the Oakland Athletics, it is highly encouraged. So the vast majority of Lansing Lugnuts coming in will be fully vaccinated already. Same thing, the Lansing Lugnuts office, we're all getting vaccinated. I'm looking at my second dose coming next week. And I told you about my health anxieties. I am pumped to be fully vaccinated. I've been looking forward to these days for a long while. Yeah, the more that the entire team and our staff is vaccinated, I feel like the safer we all are.
I'm totally with you, Jesse. I mean, just getting that first dose for me, I felt really good that you know, personally, I was taking a step in the right direction of trying to end this pandemic. And just as a society, seeing other people there also getting vaccinated, I just felt good, man. It was a really good feeling.
Compared to this, when my baby was born in late December of 2019, we were told by the doctors, it is a nasty flu season. So make sure you and your wife are vaccinated and make sure this baby is not around anybody who is not vaccinated for the flu. So this was before COVID had invaded yet. And we were making sure if you wanted to visit us, if you wanted to hold the baby, you had to be vaccinated from the flu. So this to me, with regard to the COVID-19 vaccination, it's a very similar philosophy. It's like, hey, take care of yourself and then we can be together.
Exact. That is so true, Jesse. So, so true. All right, my man, it's been so good talking to you. Before I get you out of here, though, I just want to ask you, because I know, you know, we've had many conversations about television and film, and I love having those guys, especially Eric Doc Love as well. He's my other guy that I really love having those conversations with. Before I bid you adieu, a TV show or a movie that you watched recently where you're like, man, if you haven't seen it, you got to check it out.
Lupin, and I might be mispronouncing it. Are you aware of this show on Netflix starring Omar Sy?
No, I've never heard of that.
Okay, so Sherlock Holmes is the greatest master detective of all time. The greatest detective was invented, what, around the 1890s, thereabouts, by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And around the same time, a French author named Maurice Leblanc was like, if you're going to invent the greatest detective, I'm going to invent the greatest thief. And not only that, in my stories, my guy is going to outsmart your guy. And it's going to be great. There's a short story that he wrote where it's like, Sherlock Holmes arrives too late is the name of the story. Well, on this Netflix show, we have our main character, Asan, at a very young age, was handed a book, The Exploits of Arsène Lupin, and this inspired him. And now he lives his life by that great master thief Lupin philosophy. You watch the show, Lupin, get into this on Netflix. It will draw you in so fast.
You know what, Jesse? Now that you just spelled it out, I have been pronouncing it wrong since it dropped on Netflix. I've been calling it Lupin the whole time. That is so fun. Because you know what? I have it. It's on my list because my college buddy, Will, he said, Al, I just flew through this show. And he also called it Lupin. You know, we're so clueless over here, brother. Thank you so much. But I'm like, okay, I'm gonna check it out. He said he flew through it in two nights, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna have to check it out. And it's been on my list for so long. I'm gonna start it probably this weekend and get back with you. Thank you so much, Jesse.
I married somebody who speaks French, so.
Exactly. You're educating us uncultured people like me over here, brother.
And you would never be confused with somebody who is uncultured.
Thank you. I'll take that. The one, the only, Jesse Goldberg Strasler. Jesse, I look forward to seeing you down at Jackson Field, brother, and congrats on another season.
Al, thank you so much.
All right, guys. I hope you really enjoyed that. Jesse, one of my favorite guys in this business, and it is always a pleasure to have him on Current Sports. He is just so nice, so humble, and so good at what he does. Thank you, Jesse, for joining me on today's show. Folks, we are out of time now. We will see you on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, we will be previewing the NFL draft. Exciting stuff, folks. Detroit Lions fans, at least for, you know, that this week, I should say, you got some hope. All right, but I'll give you my thoughts and predictions on the NFL draft and more. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.